Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television Radio, and it's a pleasure to have you here. Jim Masters, your host. We're also excited to welcome, coming to us from California, Jason Uribe, founder and owner of Code 3 Consultations, and an avid bike rider and car enthusiast. The company Code 3 Consultants is extraordinary. He's combined his extensive experience and expertise to establish a flourishing, successful company, working diligently to further advance his professional testimonial career. Jason serves as an investigator and expert witness for serious auto accidents, including motorcycle and commercial vehicles driving on public highways. Attorneys contact him regarding cases simultaneously, providing pertinent information. Jason also conducts analytical research, scrutinizing evidence using skillful precision. With pinpointed accuracy, he creates an evidence-based, detailed presentation in court, utilizing his specialized skills and his knowledge in the industry. He says his job is to go over all intricacies of the accident and create a presentation or a 3D model while presenting all the information to the lawyer or the court. He goes through meticulous detail and also does all the background work so the lawyers don't have to, while essentially building a presentation for court and potentially swinging a jury. Jason aspires to continue to grow the company and continue to help people because that's what brings him a sense of joy and fulfillment. He strongly believes he is doing the right thing for the right people so they aren't wrongly accused without competent representation. Based in San Francisco, Jason, who is very ambitious and passionate about his job, really willing to travel anywhere to meet with people and consistently reaches out to potential clients in his area, creating more of a solid foundation base for the company. His website is jasonuribe.com. I'll spell that for you, and we'll mention it again towards the end of the show. It is jasonuribe.com. Fascinating story, getting a chance to live his bliss, doing what he loves so much, and combining the different worlds together. Let's welcome him live and direct from California, Jason Uribe, here on Close Up Radio for part one of our two-part series. Jason, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me. It's a huge opportunity that I'm very excited for.
Oh, that is great, and we're excited to have you here as well. And you know, there's many different things in our life's journey and things that we do that we're passionate about that sometimes we're able to expand on and to merge into other areas of our lives and our, you know, quest for doing things that inspire people, connect people, and you're doing that in such a long-lasting, beautiful way. What are some of the things along your life's journey, Jason, that inspired you to create the company?
Yeah, so I mean, starting off when I was a kiddo, I got into the motorsports industry. I was super into my dirt bike, super into cars, and that pretty much was my life for about 18 years where I devoted thing every moment of every day to trying to be the best racer that I possibly could be. Then a few years went by, the pandemic hit, all that fun stuff that was great for everybody. And I actually had a friend of mine, a coworker, who I feel was wrongly accused of a crime regarding a motorcycle accident. And that's kind of what gave me that push to be, okay, this is something that I have a lot of experience with. You know, I have a lot of great teachers. I've had a lot of great guidance in the industry. And I feel that if I would have been able to represent him in a case like his, it would have had a different outcome. And that was my main motivation to create Code 3 Consultations. And here we are today.
You know, there's a lot of expert witnesses out there, and sometimes it could be real confusion for people. What are some of the things that you think separate you from other expert witnesses out there. What I said to you before we went even live is, you know, with your incredible experience, even prior to becoming an expert witness, being, you know, an avid bike rider, car enthusiast, and so much more, that just adds to the understanding and appreciation of this work, and I think is an added benefit for your clients. What are some other things you think that separate you from others that might be out there?
So the biggest thing that I pride myself on as far as being special, so to say, trying to separate myself from my competition, is more that I have a lot of experience in developing these safety mechanisms like traction control, anti-braking systems, anti-sway systems, all that stuff. I have hands-on experience, and I know how something's actually going to react in a real-world scenario versus just a computer program in a simulation. So that's one of the things that I use to help me in my corner a lot, as well as being a volunteer firefighter and having the training that every CDL driver needs. I've been through it, I've taken it, I've passed it all, and I know exactly what an elevated level of driving should look like, and that helps me approach situations in a slightly different way as compared to somebody that might not have that experience.
Which is great, again, added advantage for your clients. Let's talk about, I mentioned that, you know, you're willing to travel and you're always looking for ways to connect with people. How do you go about finding the clients, or do you find that the clients tend to find you, or is it a little of both?
I would say it's a happy balance of both. I try my best to be vigilant. I'm always trying to be on the lookout and make sure that when somebody needs an expert witness in my field, I want to be the first person that they think about. So as far as advertising, you know, buying ads, having websites, trying to be listed under experts.com, all that fun stuff, I try and stay vigilant with that, as well as just reaching out to my local injury attorneys and local offices, trying to make sure that, hey, I'm here. You know, if you need me, I'm around, I'm available. And then on the other side of things, I am lucky enough to be somewhat established in the motorsports industry. So especially when someone that's somewhat involved in racing or involved in just motorcycles or cars in general, they'll know my name, and then we'll kind of start the conversation, and then we'll go from there.
That's terrific. That's great. You know, it's interesting how you go about conducting your investigation to sort of build a case for your client. It's fascinating. I'm sure our listeners are finding it fascinating. Tell us about how you go about doing that work, Jason.
So the biggest thing right off the bat is knowing the consequences, which might sound a little bit backwards, but as far as I need to know as many details as I possibly can to be able to have a solid foundation to build off of. And sometimes that's as simple as I have three photographs and a generic report on how the vehicle actually kind of crashed. Or it's as in-depth as I have dash cam footage from multiple angles. I have CCTV footage. I have, you know, witnesses, the whole nine. Depends on how much information I'm presented with. And then from there, I'll build my own reconstruction of what I think happened based on all the evidence. And if I need to, like you were saying earlier, I'll travel anywhere to go gather as much evidence as I possibly can, you know, inspect the road conditions, inspect the vehicle, find people that might have been around and talk to them, whatever I can possibly do to try and get as much information as possible. And the more information I have, the better. And the easier it is for me to make a precise representation of what I think happened.
That's fantastic. Again, for our audience listening, these are pertinent things to look for when you want to find somebody who does the kind of work that Jason does. How do you, what are some of the other ways that you sort of network yourself as well to make those important connections?
So I'm an avid bike rider and car guy. I'm always at track days. I'm always at the racetrack. I'm always at car meets, just kind of hanging out and seeing what's around, having a good time. It's what I like to do. But at the same time, it's a great marketing opportunity as far as seeing these people that are into the same things that I am. And, you know, being on public roads, something's going to happen at some point, pretty much a guarantee, even if it's just as small as a tiny little fender bender or if it's something massive that ends up turning into a trial. I want to make sure that I'm the one that people think of when it comes to those kind of situations. as well as just having websites. You know, I'm working on building a new website, Go Through Consultations, as well as having my current one, jasonrebay.com. So trying to make sure I am able to be found and I can be present in the scenes of where I need to be.
Which is perfect, exactly. Your experience in the motor industry, as I mentioned, really does help you with your business, doesn't it? What are some of the ways that you've found the expertise that you've had being so dedicated to that industry has helped you with the work you do as an expert witness? Some of the ways that you've been able to link these worlds?
I think one of the strong points that I have that I've learned over, you know, 20 years of being in the industry is knowing what's reality-based and what's something that's a bit far-fetched. And what I mean by that is looking at, for example, dash cam footage and seeing a truck spin, which is not a big deal. It's a fairly common occurrence. However, being able to decipher, okay, what were the events that led up to this? And in reality, excluding anything else, would this actually be something that could have been prevented? And if it was, then I'll go way into detail as far as how. But there are times, like on one of my most recent cases, where once you put a wheel off into the dirt and the type of vehicle this person was driving, there was pretty much no chance to actually recover from that kind of slide, which is exactly what I proposed to the court. And that's what ended up working out in his favor. As far as reality-based, there is there's a large discrepancy between what you can find in a computer simulation and what a vehicle can actually do, whether it's four wheels, two wheels, whatever. That's where I rely on my experience in the industries to know, okay, what is actually possible and what's not.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because sometimes it could be a blur, it could be confusing, people don't know, and there's sometimes a lot of emotion involved when there is, you know, an accident or things that go on, and it becomes very just like a fog and a blur. So you need somebody that can really meticulously go through everything in the way that you do, take the time and have the patience and just really dig your heels in to look for those little nuggets, which I think is incredible. Tell us about some of the, you know, obviously people are very understanding of the work, and there have been awards and certifications you've received that have aided in the work that you do. Tell us about some of that as well.
I think the biggest award that I've received in this field that I'm very thankful for is being recognized by Cal Fire to help train some of their upcoming drivers and help train some of their upcoming investigators, fire investigators. And that's something that I take very seriously. Firefighting is a big part of my life, and it's something I'm very proud of. So being able to be recognized by a company like that, Cal Fire, it's been a huge honor.
Which is great, and congratulations on that. Is there maybe a particular case, maybe you can elaborate a little bit, best that you're able to, or a big win, per se, that sort of stands out for you?
I would say, I actually mentioned it a little bit earlier, as far as I was working on a case fairly recently where I had almost no information. I had literally three photos, one of them was of the vehicle and two of them were from the crash site, and a generic breakdown of what the ECU, what the actual car recorded during the crash. And my job was to determine what really happened and to try and find a root cause. And that for me was, it was definitely a challenge as far as having almost no information to go off of and being very limited with how extensive I could be in my research. I had to try and keep a very low-key kind of atmosphere. And that took a long time. That took a lot of dedication, and I had to ask friends, ask contacts, whoever I could, to try and get a better understanding of, okay, what could possibly happen here? What could this lead to? What could happen if this, you know, kind of working the whole nine and creating something from nothing is what I would like to say, and putting together a report and being able to stand by that, you know, on trial was something that I'm very proud of, and it's something that it took a village, and I don't want to say I'm looking forward to the next case that works out like that, but I feel like I'm much better prepared now than I ever have been, and it's nice for me to be able to know that I can take very, very little information and be able to actually build something from it.
Right, exactly. And that's very empowering and inspiring for others, too, who might be starting out ventures, to see how you've been able to do that and make it into what it is today. Talking a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of the process, Jason, what happens if you realize that there's actually no chance for your client to win the case? Is that something that you realize early on, or is it a situation where you don't think about that at all, you just keep going until it's definitive in a very sort of definitive way, as definitive as it can get?
So what I try and do is I try to, right off the bat, immediately look at the evidence that I'm given, look at the information that I have, and make a brief determination of, okay, is this something that we can work with, or are we going to be fighting an uphill battle? And there are times where I have been retained to fight that uphill battle, because it might make that it might make it less of a mountain and more of a hill, so to say. So there are definitely times where I feel like we've been kind of on the back step trying to make a situation better than it could have been without my help. And like I said, I try and make that known right off the bat, so everybody is in the know, everybody understands what's happening. And if it's something that we can work with, great. And if it's something where they choose to not go forward with things, that's okay. You know, I totally understand the situation that everybody is in. It's always going to be different. So I try and roll with the punches and be flexible in that matter. And yeah, we take the punches and we roll with them.
Exactly right. Yeah. You know, how do you, this must be, you know, an interesting thing for our listeners. How do you decide on your fee if a client loses a case? I mean, how do you decide on the fee anyway, but especially if the client does lose the case? How does that work?
So the biggest thing, I try and be super upfront and super forward regarding any type of fees right off the bat. I don't want to have somebody guessing about how much this is going to cost or what I'm going to actually be able to provide for them. I try and make sure that's known right away. So that's one of the first things that we'll agree on. And as far as deciding the cost, like I said earlier, I try and be really flexible. You know, I don't want to be the guy that gouges people out for thousands and thousands of dollars if they really don't have it to spend in the beginning. You know, for a minor fender bender, I'm going to charge a lot less than I would for a multi-car collision that has casualties involved. Because for me, the amount of time and effort it takes to dive that deep into something that can be super complicated, where I have to go out and gather all this evidence, that's what I use to help determine my fee. I try and make sure that it's reasonable for everybody involved, and we go from there.
That's great. So, you know, you have an opportunity to really sort of customize it, which I think is terrific. Does your youth pose an obstacle for you in your line of work at all? Does that ever come into play, or no? It's all about the experience, the dedication, the passion.
It is funny you mentioned that. Yeah, I have had a few times where I've actually been retained. I've had a contract signed, and then people found out my age, and then we had to pretty much cancel the contract and move on, which is unfortunate, but I try my best to maintain a professional stature. You know, I'm a healthy, active guy. I'm fairly tall. I'm a firefighter, so I try and take advantage of what I have physically to help portray a sense of maturity, as well as understanding what's really happening and using my experience and my knowledge to help eradicate any questions that could be regarding my validity at my age. You know, I want to make sure that, yeah, I might be on the younger side for this line of work, but I know exactly what I'm doing. I've had the experience, I've had the training, and I want to help people, and that's what I'm here to do.
That's great. That's terrific. Again, for the clients, potential clients that are listening right now, you know, I'd imagine there's a lot of different cases you've worked with. Some of them can be really tough, can be very emotional for the people involved, the parties involved. And what is one of the more difficult or worst cases you've dealt with that comes to mind for you in your experience?
There's one case, it was my first case, that really stands out as far as being emotionally taxing, and that was when I had a DUI driver, an intoxicated driver, end up spinning a vehicle into an oncoming lane and hit a motorcyclist, and that motorcyclist ended up passing away. And my job was to analyze the incident, determine what happened, and determine if it was actually something that could have been prevented. However, going to the crash scene, meeting with the people, and looking at all the evidence, and understanding what that bike rider must have been thinking moments before the impact, that definitely took a toll. One of the things that being in the fire service, being in the quote-unquote medical field, so to say, you know, gore and blood and broken bones and all that stuff, it doesn't really faze me, but more of having that self-relation and knowing what must have been going through that rider's head. I will say the nights of having a full sleep from, you know, having a full 8 hours of sleep are long gone. But that's where I really rely on my family, my friends, to try and keep that positivity going in my life. And I really weigh on my girlfriend, who I'm trying to propose to soon. She really keeps me in check, and definitely I'm very thankful for her.
Congratulations on that. That's terrific. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
And if she's listening right now, hopefully she knew that already.
Yeah. Yeah,
if not,
talking about
she just learned today, and she's doing backflips. You heard it here exclusively on Close Up Radio. How do you deal, I was mentioning the emotional side of all this, how do you deal emotionally? You know, you're, like I said, the clients, people involved could be emotional and could be riveting. But for you too, especially when there are these tragic circumstances of the cases, you know, it's kind of like doctors, nurses, EMTs, police, I mean, people that are running, firefighters, they're running towards what's happening to try to help it, heal it, solve it, figure it out. You're doing sort of the same thing after it's happened. How do you deal with some of the emotional side of it all and not let it overtake you, override you, bring you down? Because, again, some of the details that you go through being so meticulous, you realize that this isn't just facts, figures, you know, make and model and street corners. These are real people's lives that have been involved in these horrific circumstances.
Yeah, that's definitely taken some time. Definitely being in the fire service has helped me a lot as far as training me to be better at putting on a game face, so to say, and realizing that, yes, these are tragic events, these are real people, these are things that have happened in reality, and there's no going back. However, I need to make sure that wherever I'm going, whatever it might be, small or big, I need to make sure I'm 100%. And through the fire department and just through my experience in the motorsports industry and family and friends, I've had a lot of great teachers, a lot of great coaches who have shown me how to be able to kind of switch off that side of my head and realize that I need to keep emotions in check, but at the same time, this is a job and this is what I'm here to do, and I'm going to do it well. So it's definitely one of those things where, kind of like I said earlier, I'll go home at the end of the day, and I'll sit down with my girlfriend, and it's a few minutes of silence to kind of collect myself and to realize what's happening, to kind of let it hit for a minute, and then we move on, and life goes on, and we kind of go from there. But it's definitely taken some time. I've had a lot of great training, like I said, but I do feel it at times, and that's where I really rely on my friends and family.
Which is good, right? You need that balance. You need that support system. Everybody does. We all do, no matter whether we're celebrities or just, you know, doing our daily thing. You got to have that in life. What if you weren't doing this work as an expert witness? Is there another field of endeavor that interests you as well, Jason?
I would say now that I've kind of gotten into the forensic side of things, I really enjoy it. So if I couldn't be an expert witness and somewhat of an investigator myself, I would probably stick around in the forensics kind of industry, whether it's in biochemical. I'm an electrician by trade, so electromechanics, anything involving that sort of things. product testing, that's what I really enjoy, being able to use my head and use my experience and put it to good use. That's where I'd probably pursue.
Mm, that's terrific. That's great. Again, having another thing to do. Other hobbies that you engage in too, and are there any others that relate to the work that you're doing?
Yeah, it's I actually have a who's soon to be a mother-in-law who is very, very much in depth in the motorsports industry, and she actually does somewhat of the same kind of work that I do. She was a big motivation for me as well to actually pursue creating codes with consultations and not really having just an idea and just wanting to do something, but actually making it happen. She was a big part of that. So I bounce off of her sometimes when I need ideas, and same for her to me. And as far as hobbies go, like you said earlier, I'm a big car guy. I love motorcycles, so I'm always working on my car, my bike. Seems like I'm always breaking stuff on my car or my bike, so there's always something to do. And aside from that, I like arts and crafts, honestly. I like to kind of sit down and make small things. I'm always testing stuff, whether it's as small as, like, trying a new light bulb or making a super intricate, detailed electrical plan for my house, you know, whatever I can do to kind of keep my mind busy. That's what I like to do.
That's terrific. This is really a great conversation thus far. It's part one of an exclusive two-part series here on Close Up Radio, folks. Our very special guest, Jason Uribe of Code 3 Consultants. And again, combining his extensive experience and expertise as an avid bike rider and car enthusiast, and established this flourishing, successful company, working diligently to further advance his professional testimonial career, serving as an investigator and expert witness for serious auto accidents, motorcycle, commercial vehicles, and more. If you'd like to learn more and connect with Jason, you can go to the website, jasonuribe.com. I'll spell that out for you. That is jasonuribe.com. Jason, this was terrific. Thanks for spending time with me here on Close Up Radio. Continued success in all that you're doing and all that you have happening in your life. And looking forward to chatting more down the line. And, of course, part two coming up next week here on Close Up Radio as well.
Well, thank you for your time, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity. I'd love to meet up sometime again soon.
Absolutely. You take care, and again, thanks for joining us. Again, folks, this is part one of a two-part series, so do join us next week, same time, for the continuation of our conversation with Jason. Looking forward to that. For all of us here at Close Up Radio, this is Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, appreciate you being with us and inviting you to stay right there. We'll be back momentarily with another fascinating guest to celebrate right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for joining us, and take care and be well. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.